¡Órale!
¡Sí, señor!
Ah, bienvenidos and welcome to the playoff semifinals edition of the Familia FFP podcast.
We're dun, dun, dun.
Fired up. It's Sunday night. It's the reaction show. And I'm reacting with my primos, Hector Reyes. And sitting in for Ricky is Nico Gutierrez. Primos.
I'm
good. Over here. I'm not going to be in the finals. Nico looks like, knock on wood. I don't want to jinx anyone. I'm just saying it appears that Nico is headed to the finals.
It's really nice here. It's all luxury and it's pretty. You're going to miss out, but it's really nice.
It's kind of like the Bellagio of Vegas, you know, in the nice rooms.
It's a VIP. It's nice.
Well, gracias everybody for joining us. Como siempre, es un placer. And, you know, we hope you're having a wonderful holiday season. Merry Christmas, Feliz Navidad. And for our friends, hope you had a wonderful Hanukkah. Hopefully everybody's checking out our website at familiaffb.com and our social media channels at familiaffb and on Twitter and Instagram, as well as our Familia FFB Facebook page. Boys, wow. What a day. What a day.
Yeah.
The way things were just going back and forth, just phenomenal. Nico, just what were the emotions you were feeling today?
Well, I was watching Red Zone and it was just too much. You know, it was kind of like, it was just more and more and more safeties, touchdowns, you know, trick plays. It was like, it was a lot of everything. A
lot of scoring. So a lot of scoring today, man. It was just, and it seemed like, I mean, in our league, I'm sure that leagues everywhere, it's just like, if you had the right lineup, man, you got points in bunches today. Definitely. They were there to be had for sure.
Yeah. And for those of you who know the history, I was playing first place 3 weeks ago and then knocked him out. So I had to play first place again. So I went to the championship, had to play first place. Now I got to play first place again. So it was kind of tough, but I played Creepy Joe, which is our cousin. And I went in there and I had Josh Allen at 38.48 points, you know, in digs. I mean, that's a nice way to kind of come into
nice
the
stack.
Yeah. So it was a nice stack. I came in, I felt good, but then, you know, you got Ridley and Cook coming out on his side, and I was like, wow, we were literally projection wise like right at 133
mano a mano. Yeah, man, that was intense, man. It was very, very, very fun. It was a lot of fun watching the happenings today in our league. That was a lot of fun.
I think our ratings were up there with CNN and the Disney Channel. So it was up there.
way up today. Yeah.
I tell you, it was crazy. I kind of, on one of my other leagues, and in my Dodger league, where I'm also in the semifinals, you know, I rode the Ryan Tannehill, AJ Brown, with DeAndre Swift on the other side. And that's what propelled, you know, we had Manny Gussie and the Raiders going up against each other in our other semifinal. And that's really propelled the Raiders and that guy named Derrick Henry. So
yeah, that Tannehill and Henry, that stack is just beast mode. Jesse has that stack, man. So that's tough to beat, man. I don't know. And when they're on, it's, man, I mean, 5 TDs from Tannehill today, and Derrick Henry did what Derrick Henry does and just run for a bunch of yards and score touchdowns. So it's really tough to beat.
He also has Brown. I mean, that's like a triple stack.
AJ Brown, yeah, man. It's just like,
it gets you three ways. Wow. Just
tough to beat.
And that's with Manny having Lamar Jackson and Aaron Jones, you know, doing everything that they could. And Corey Davis, who had himself a big day, you know, with
Ryan Tannehill. Yeah, he had all those guys and still got beat up.
Everybody else just did okay. I know. I will say, just to kind of toot my own horn on my Dodger League, the team that started 0-5, well, we were trailing – we were getting our butts beat. I'm not kidding. I was worried. We have Davante Adams, who we'll be talking about at the latter part of the show, but he didn't score a touchdown, and I'm sitting there like, uh-oh, our stud just got shut out. And but the other team had Aaron Rodgers, who, you know, had an okay day, but not his normal day. But they also had Darren Waller. And then all of a sudden, that game with Ryan Tannehill, AJ Brown, and DeAndre Swift, they scored 80 points between the three of them.
That's crazy.
And it just, but I will say, I had a corazón roto. I had a corazón roto moment during the New Orleans and Kansas City game. So my team has the New Orleans defense and the New Orleans kicker. So all of a sudden, that, I don't know if you guys, did you guys see that play where they fumbled into the end zone and then the guy from New Orleans fell on the ball, but then he didn't trap it and he fumbled it and he kicked it out of the, and, you know, pushed it out of the end zone. It ended up being a safety. And then, but instead, if he would have fallen on the ball, caught it, gotten the touchdown, not only do I get 2 points for the fumble recovery, 6 points for the touchdown, and then another point for the extra point.
Instead,
like I got 2 points. Instead, I got 2 points. So I'm sitting there like, ay, Dios mío. And so now that team is, we're up by, somehow our miracle comeback, we're up by 8 points now. And we've got two players going tomorrow night.
Who do you have going tomorrow?
We've got James Conner. But if he's not playing, we also have Benny. So he's a game time decision. So if he's not playing, Benny Snell, we got him. So we're going to slot him in.
Right.
And then we also have for our flex, we either have Chase Claypool or Deontay Johnson. So we may be flipping a coin. And the other side, the team we're playing, has Juju Smith-Schuster. So I'm feeling good about that one. But it would have been so nice to have that extra 7 points, to be up 15
right,
points.
Right.
Two guys to go. Well, so, Nico, you and I have been.
I'm sorry. I saw that play, and that was a touchback. I don't understand how they got a because he's – slid in, little slip and slide, and he didn't have control, and it just bounced out. I don't understand.
Because it went out of the end zone.
It was kind of a weird play.
It was because it went out of the end zone. They cannot keep – because the ball went out of the end zone, the Chiefs could not keep possession of the ball. So they ended up having – it ended up either – so it couldn't be a touchback because they no longer had possession of the ball. And the last team to touch it was the Saints. So that's what ended up happening. So they ended up giving them a safety instead of it being a touchback and going back to the – and keeping the ball. So crazy weird
play. I didn't know if you went up the chute or the ladder.
Well, we had a hook and ladder over in the Miami game, so on a two-point conversion.
Oh, did you see that? Oh, that was cool. That was great.
That was so cool.
I'm surprised that play isn't used more often. The hook and ladder is –
it's legit.
I mean, that's like you know, misdirection. It's like a legit misdirection play. Like, why isn't that play used more often? I mean, it works in high school, it works in elementary school, it works in college, but in the pros, no one ever uses it. But it works.
And you know what? I see it. I feel like they only save it for that desperation kickoff return, where the team absolutely needs to do it. But no, I've seen it work where it's like you throw the ball about 20 yards down and then you pitch it to a guy coming. It's just it's a perfect play. I love that play. Oh
yeah,
and I love it that it was Brian Flores doing it to his old, you know, his old head coach, Bill Belichick. You know, so that was cool. That was cool.
Nice.
And
I've seen the hook and ladder 2.0 where the guy jumped out of bounds and like, oh, he's out of bounds, and he grabbed it and he threw it back. I think I saw it in a college game, and it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. And it's like, that's the hook and ladder 2.0. I was like, wow.
I thought it was cool talking about trick plays. I thought it was pretty neat during the Chiefs game with the Mahomes lateral to Le'Veon Bell.
Oh,
Mahomes already ran. He was way past the line of scrimmage. He was already. It was like a drawn up QB draw play. Oh, okay. So he's running up. He's just kind of takes off. He gains like 5 yards, and then he dumps it off to Le'Veon Bell. After and that was a total design play. He was way past the line of scrimmage, and you're not thinking oh, well, he's past the line of scrimmage already. He's not going to dump the ball off anymore because he's past the line of scrimmage. And then he gives a dump off, and it's a lateral, so you can lateral anywhere on the field. You know what I mean? That didn't matter. So I thought that was interesting, kind of neat. You know, again, something that, you know, teams have don't really put into practice is the idea that your quarterback, if he's past the line of scrimmage, he still has the ability to give a nice little lateral to his running back to do some things. And then that play, Le'Veon Bell's got a touchdown.
It's like an extended option play. Like, as long as you keep going down, you know, it's the hook and ladder option play all the way down the street, you know.
Right, exactly. Turn right there at the light post, go behind the car, around the Cadillac. I'll hit you right there. Go by the trunk. Go by the trunk of the Cadillac. I'll hit you right there. Ready, go.
Yeah, with the Nerf football, you didn't. You know, with the Nerf football, you didn't have to you worry remember, about hitting. So yes, remember. I remember.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, and when you threw a Nerf, when you threw a Nerf, it didn't matter if it hit somebody's car.
Yeah, bouncing off the windshield and bouncing off the trunk of the car. It's, you know.
Oh man. Well, and I'm also very happy that I played Jalen Hurts in DFS and just kicked the booty. So that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun doing that one. We'll talk about them, but first we're going to talk about the stuff that's not so fun. The those injuries. The injuries. That CEH, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that one. Oh,
his knee. They show that he kind of did the splits, and his left knee kind of bent like a weird way, and he couldn't put any weight on it at all. We've been around the NFL for long enough to know it's probably. I mean, hopefully it's just like an MCL sprain. Hopefully, because I mean he couldn't put any weight on it at all, so that's never a good sign. But hopefully it's like a bad sprain, and you know he can recover quickly.
God, I hope
it didn't look good. Didn't look good at all.
No, that one just looked so ugly. So ugly. I mean, we'll be looking for updates. In fact, I'm looking through updates right now to see if maybe there's any late reports coming in, but nothing as of yet. I mean, it's just so unfortunate. Just so unfortunate. I know some people who needed CEH to perform for them, and now it's looking like Le'Veon Bell, though he went down really hard on his final carry. He got taken down, and he went down on one of his shoulders. And so, you know, that could be something where you got to watch out for that. He didn't run the ball anymore, and I don't think he was on the field for the victory formation. But I mean, gosh, I mean, the Chiefs could be their third string running back just in the matter of a fourth quarter.
If that's... Not that they need one. Like the Chiefs need a running back, like, you know. Chiefs, you have no running backs. Okay, well, let's just go win a Super Bowl, and you know, no big deal. It's like, you know, it's not really necessary. Although, you know, more of late, the Chiefs have kind of been looking a little bit more mortal, you know, beatable. You know, it seems so. You know, that is a big deal for sure. You want to definitely keep the running game going, just to keep defenses a little bit off their, you know. You know, on their toes, but you know, it's generally speaking, the Chiefs don't really need a running back.
You got Patrick Mahomes. He could use his guys. He could use Tyreek Hill on the screens. He could throw. It's just, I mean, shoot, he did a little pitch play with Travis Kelce today, and so that was very nice. That was very nice. That helped our team. You know, my team go. So. That's good. You know, a couple other injuries. We had a couple of ankle injuries. James Robinson left the game and did not return with an ankle injury. So that's something that could be impacting fantasy lineups. Raheem Mostert also went out with an ankle injury, did not return. So, I mean, just two things that got to be monitored this week, along with the Le'Veon Bell injury. And obviously we'll update during the waiver wire episode if there's anything with if we find out anything about CEH. A couple of pregame things. Jameis Winston went on the COVID list pregame. So all of a sudden it's like, you know, it was Taysom Hill's back as the backup.
Right.
So that one was a tough one. And then Ezekiel Elliott, you know, goes inactive because a calf injury. How surprising was that?
First time in his career, right? I think that's what I read. First time in his career that he's inactive for a game.
Yeah. You know, just a scratch. That was just, ooh. And you know, what's funny, like I'd put in our, I then throw you afuera column, where I put Zeke on the afuera section because I was just like, I was going to sit him no matter what. And, you know, for my consolation bracket game, if it had been,
you didn't even have to worry about it. You didn't have to make that decision.
Even have to worry about it. But, you know, that's one of the things, you know, they won, and we'll be talking about Tony Pollard soon enough, but, you know, do you activate him, you know, when he's got this little injury, you've got the big investment in the money on him. Do you just say, hey, you know what, let's shut him down and put Tony Pollard in there? I mean, do you do that?
Well, Pollard's pretty good. I mean, Zeke hasn't done really much all year. I mean, you drafted him. I'll take him number one or two or whatever. And he just didn't. And Pollard, I mean, I had him as a backup, and I thought, you know, it's just a matter of time. But today he did well. I mean, Dallas won, right? So
yeah, Dallas won. That's what got you to start drinking. Oh, sorry.
I was just gonna say, watch out for them. Watch out for them. Andy Dalton, you know, people were saying that he was all washed up. Oh yeah, he's done. You know, the Bengals. You know, this and that and the other. You know, he's over the hill. Oh no. Got a good squad there. You know, Dallas doesn't have the same offensive line they've had in the past, but you know they definitely are still good. They still have a very good offensive line. Maybe not as, like I say, not great like it had been more of late, but they definitely have a very good O-line. They definitely have a lot of weapons there. He's got, CeeDee Lamb. He's got his other main wide receiver.
You got Amari Cooper.
Yeah, exactly. Amari Cooper. Exactly.
Gallup. He caught a touchdown. Exactly. Dalton Schultz caught a touchdown today. So
yeah, he's got a lot of targets, man. Watch out. Andy Dalton is not washed up by any stretch. So be careful. And they're scary, sneaky good. Watch out for Dallas.
How crazy that right now in the NFC East, the best quarterback may be Jalen Hurts. And you know, and they're the team that's in fourth place.
Right?
That just absolutely nuts. What was that, Nico?
No, I was just talking about, because these new quarterbacks, like these defensive linemen who are, you know, 340 pounds are trying to chase these guys on the outside, that's just going to go away. Because you're going to get like Clowney. You have to get those type of guys that are going to come in and chase them. Because you saw, you know, some of these fast quarterbacks and, you know, whatever they can do, they're getting chased down and they're freaking out like, oh, my God, who is that? So I think football has changed, and you're going to see the old guard finally kind of go away. Brady's going to go away, and Breeze and all those guys that sit in the pocket. I mean, football has changed, I think, forever now. So
Yeah. I mean, you saw what Kyler Murray did today, and, you know, that's just an example. I think he threw a 40 point. A minute, but mobile quarterbacks, you know, Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, you know, like you said, the pocket quarterback is kind of on the way out, you know, and you know, the era of the mobile quarterback, I think we're just beginning to see it, you know, across the board.
Yeah, I think I totally agree. So, and especially you got the young
change forever.
Yeah, you get the young guys coming in, and they're just all of a sudden if you're not a dual threat quarterback, you're not under any kind of consideration. So it's fascinating.
It's taken a couple of years to learn it. I mean, you saw with RG3, and you know, it just, I don't think coaching staffs have at that time you understood. I think that was Mike Shanahan, right? That jacked up RG3, like kind of wrecked his career, bringing him back in, you know, when he was hurt, brought him back in for the playoff game and, you know, jacked him up worse. And, you know, there's that, but I think the, you know, like Nico was saying, you know, that kind of the old guard, the old mentality is these coaches that have just come up and it goes for them too. The old guard coaches were, you know, what do I do with the running quarterback? I don't know what to do with them. So they didn't know what to do with them. So now you have, you know, these young guys, Cliff Kingsbury and others that actually know what to do with a mobile quarterback. And you're seeing, you know, actually you're seeing some big things happen. You're seeing, you know, MVP, you know, Lamar Jackson's the MVP, reigning MVP, mobile quarterback. So that this is definitely the wave of the future, and it's exciting. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, you know, and you got guys like not too old, like Carr. Carr's a good example. Good quarterback. He can throw it in there, and he's mobile, but he's not mobile enough. I mean, he'll get caught, and So you get frustrated, like you're not winning every game. And it's like, he played good, you know, this game, he played well here. He's not playing, you know, it's like, it's not consistent. It's like, what just happened? You lose, you know, 35-0 and you win, you know, you beat Kansas City. I'm like, what is going on? So you need a consistent, you know, a consistent quarterback that's always going to get out of it. And I think it's going to be different.
And
quarterbacks will be drafted before running backs someday.
Oh yeah, it's going to be. That part, that's already happened. We're picking the quarterbacks for the running backs, because now it seems like the running backs don't get picked before the end of the first round, maybe, you know, but definitely through the second round. And by that point, there's multiple quarterbacks that are already gone. And I mean, in this upcoming draft, I've heard it projected as many as 6 quarterbacks in the first round, which is just crazy. Crazy. And
we're
so
crazy.
So we'll see. But you know what? Then we look at the next section, which is Ay Mijo, Los Chingones.
Let's go.
The Los Chingones. So, I mean, I'm looking at the quarterbacks, and, you know, we've got the list right there. The first, you know, the first 6 names are all dual threat quarterbacks, starting off with Jalen Hurts. I mean, just absolutely, if you watched that game between him and Kyler Murray, just basically going one-on-one, I mean, it was just spectacular. Just I can't wait to just watch, like, the, you know, either the full on replay or the highlights of that game, because those guys were making plays. I mean, Hurts, 338 yards, 3 touchdowns. Then he added another 63 yards on the ground and a touchdown. And on the other side of the house, you had Kyler Murray, 27-36 for 406 yards, 3 touchdowns. And he also added 29 yards rushing. His slump is over, guys. I mean, they both took advantage of just two secondaries that were just not up to snuff. I mean, obviously the Philly secondary was just, you know, decimated with injuries, and I mean, just so much fun. I mean, how cool was that, like, little scramble touchdown?
Yeah, I can't wait to see the replays and the highlights. Yeah.
Did you guys see that Jalen Hurts highlight reel run where he ran and he just kind of, like, bump, you know, just dragged a guy into the end zone for a touchdown, for like an 8-yard touchdown run. It was just, wonderful. Got to watch the highlights of that one. That one's just, because I know we were all watching the Chiefs and the Saints. So, but, you know, in the earlier slate, Ryan Tannehill. Well, first off, you know, Nico, it's a good thing you're on here. What in the world were you thinking dropping him earlier in the season and at 5 in the morning doing so?
Well, he wasn't doing much for me. And Josh Allen, it's kind of like, you know, it's like Pittsburgh defense. Once you have that, you don't really need anything else. You just need a backup. And to tell you the truth, I just need to pick up a few running backs. So what do you get rid of, you know? So I got rid of Tannehill. And to tell you the truth, there's not one weekend where I would have played him in front of Josh Allen anyway, right? So how bad of a choice was that anyway?
I know, and crazy part is this would have been like the only weekend that Tannehill has done. I mean, Tannehill's had some really good games, but I think this might have been the only weekend where Tannehill outscored Josh Allen, and that was with Josh Allen having a spectacular game with 359 yards, 2 touchdowns, and then adding 2 rushing touchdowns. I mean, just how much fun is he? How much fun is he to watch play?
He's awesome. He's fantastic. Definitely. Yeah.
And I tried to trade him, but no one wants a backup quarterback back then. You know, you got to remember, now it's like,
he's phenomenal. And then another dual threat, Deshaun Watson. I mean, it seems like he's the old guy, but he's only like in his 4th year in the league, and 373 yards, 2 touchdowns. And I mean, just, he was great. Lamar Jackson adding 3 touchdown passes on 243 yards. He added in another score himself. I mean, he almost took Manny's team to the semifinals by himself. I mean, to the finals by himself, except he went up against Ryan Tannehill. So, but I mean, that's what you get, you know, you guys both have touched on it. The dual threat quarterback is the way to go. And it's just, it's almost like if you don't have one, you need to go get yourself one.
Right, right.
I used to never play the stack, but I see it and I'm like, wow, because those double points are so nice. Like, you're down, also like, oh, that was so nice, you know.
Oh, just absolutely phenomenal. Just absolutely phenomenal. Yeah. And, you know, Matt Ryan had himself a nice day, probably his first good day in a while without Julio Jones, 356 yards, three touchdowns, though he lost because on the other side was Tom Brady throwing for 390 yards and two touchdowns. I mean, the GOAT is still alive. I mean, he's just amazing.
Still doing 390. That's crazy. Like, wow.
Amazing. Amazing.
Although he only shows up like in the third and fourth quarter. It's kind of like dinner starts at 4 or 5 o'clock because he's a senior. I don't understand.
And then, you know, and then the game that the Chiefs and the Saints, I mean, it was, I mean, you had Drew Brees who, you know, he only completed 15 of 34 passes, but he still got three touchdown passes. So, I mean, it just, I mean, he did not look great. Did not look great by any means. I mean, what were your guys' thoughts?
I mean, you could tell. I mean, they were talking about it, you know, during the game. It was just, I think it was that Tony Romo that was talking. Yep. That guy's just, I mean, there's not really too many guys that are as good as Tony Romo, you know, color commentator in a football game. Just like, wow, the guy's just, he's brilliant. You know, and he was mentioning it, you know, in the beginning, like, yeah, he's just, it's just rust. He's like, you know, it's just rust. It's going to be there. It's, and yeah, you know, he's been out. I think Romo said that he was out for a month. So yeah, whenever that happens, there's going to be rust. And there was. And so he was just a little bit off. You know, the passes were just like a foot off or a yard off, and, you know, just a little bit there. But, you know, second half, it just seemed like he started getting, you know, things together a little bit. But yeah, by that point, he had already thrown so many incompletions, though. Yeah, the completion percentage was doomed for the remainder of the game, you know, pretty much no matter what he did. So, but yeah, three TDs. I mean, from a fantasy standpoint, nobody cares about complete percentage. You know, right. 234 yards passing and three TDs. That's a nice score for Drew Brees. So from a fantasy standpoint, did well.
Well, also, you got to understand, I mean, I had a bruised rib one time. I couldn't even tie my shoes. This guy had like, what, 9 cracked ribs with a punctured lung, and he did what he did.
Crazy. So, that's nuts. Exactly.
So I think he's going to get better. He came in, and now they have the dual threat because you got both quarterbacks / running back / tight end or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm, so I think New Orleans is going to come back. And then you didn't even have, you know, your whole receiving crew. So I think it's going to change. And I think New Orleans is going to win the Super Bowl.
Ooh. You heard it here, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh yeah, baby. Okay. You know what, Nico, beer bet. I'm taking the Chiefs.
Bingo.
I'm taking the Chiefs on that bet. I'm taking it's going to be the same because the other team has Mahomes and he went for 254 yards and three touchdowns.
Do not count out the Titans. Remember the Titans. Remember the Titans. I mean, they just look completely unstoppable right now. Yeah, their defense isn't all that great, but what does it matter when your quarterback's throwing up 5 TDs. You know what I mean? Like, and Tannehill's just been on a just insane tear. I mean, the last couple of weeks, and he may not even be the best guy on his team. So they're nuts. The Titans are nuts. Just be careful. You know, they're up there in the conversation.
What about the Jets today? They were great.
Oh. We're going to talk about them very soon. But first, let's get into the running backs. I mean, David Montgomery, Nico, that's your guy. He's your caballo that you have been riding. 32 carries, 146 yards, two touchdowns, added another 16 yards receiving. I mean, what kind of run is this guy on? I mean, he's just ridiculous. It's back-to-back weeks.
He finally showed up. It's like, oh, just in time, you know?
Three weeks in a row. I believe last week he was the running back one also. I mean, just
yeah, that's a tear. He's on a tear right now. Watch out.
Incredible. And then you got Tony Pollard, the sub of the year. Wally Pipp is Lou Gehrig for Wally Pipp gets 132 total yards and two touchdowns. I mean, it's just like, come on, man. At one point, he looked like he was doing nothing. And then all of a sudden, he's next thing you know, he's just got a whole bunch of receiving yards.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Very cool.
I mean,
it's a great game.
And you know, the Dallas fan base is so crazy. So I wonder what their sports talk is going to be like tomorrow. When they, are they going to be just like, oh, let's get rid of Zeke. Let's trade Zeke. Trade Zeke.
Tony Pollard MVP, right?
Well, I'll tell you, fantasy MVP, you're going to get a lot of votes for Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, man.
132 yards and a touchdown. Also, Derrick Henry, 147 yards and a touchdown. I mean, it's just he's staying on. You know, both of them are going to be – I think they're going to be the running backs one and two this year on the season. That Derrick Henry is going to have still has a shot at 2,000 yards. He was he needed to average 156 yards, so he's right on the
he's right there,
right behind that. And he's got the Green Bay defense next week, and they give up yards.
They did not. They did not look good the other day.
No, no.
Was it yesterday?
Yesterday, it feels like.
Yeah, they did not yesterday. Look. They did not look good at all against the run. So I look for Derrick Henry to just. Yeah, I would not be surprised if he doesn't get two touchdowns against the Green Bay defense. That's they're not that good.
Yeah, people are gonna be just flocking to put him on their DFS roster.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
JD McKissic had himself another game, you know, a check down game, 10 targets with 9 receptions, 56 yards and a touchdown. So
wow.
added another 51 yards rushing. The Aaron Jones in yesterday's game, 145 yards and a touchdown. So I mean, he has continued to eat, and he's got a good, he's got a good one, a good matchup next week with the Titans. That's going to be an incredible Sunday night game.
That is going to be a great game. Watch out. That's going to be fireworks. Fireworks.
Major fireworks. And in fact, yeah, my Dodger League, you know, my players that I'm going to be playing in that one are Ryan Tannehill, as we can call him Sunshine, since we're talking about Remember the Titans.
Right.
Ryan Sunshine Tannehill, AJ Brown, and Devontae Adams on the other side. So it's going to be a dogfight. But yeah, DeAndre Swift came back, more carries, 15 carries, 67 yards, 2 touchdowns. He has that job, and he could be, you know, kind of an underrated player there at the end. And then David Johnson, so many people were going crazy about that trade and just kind of laughing at Bill O'Brien, but today he went off for 106 yards.
Took him long enough, right? It's been, you know, people were expecting this from David Johnson all season long, and it's like he finally put it together way late in the season, but took a while. But yeah, that's he has himself a great game.
Nico, do you still have a David Johnson, fathead in your house for that? Because you had him that year. He was utterly incredible.
I had him every year, and I just waited, you know. now it's a tree.
Yeah, it's a different team. It looks creepy now.
No, I just kind of gave up on that a while
back. And then our last running back was Salvin Ahmed, coming off the COVID IR. And so for 23 carries, 122 yards and a touchdown. I'm sorry, he wasn't on COVID IR. He was just injured. But then the receivers, Calvin Ridley. Just, you know, he gets the targets when Julio Jones is out. And I mean,
yeah, he does. Yeah, he does.
You know, 10 receptions, 163 yards and a touchdown. Just phenomenal. DeAndre Hopkins, D-Hop. I mean, that touchdown was just amazing. Amazing. I mean, how is that?
Stuff that no one can catch.
And that was the thing, you know, people were talking about, when people were, the experts were pointing out how the Philadelphia defense, the secondary was just, had so many guys out with injury. You just knew that he was a guy that you had to play. And then Marvin Jones took advantage of the Titans, 10 catches for 112 yards and a touchdown.
And that was Stafford. Yeah. Stafford left what, fourth quarter? Was it? I guess it wasn't injury related, but just coach's decision. I guess what they called it.
I guess. Well, it was.
Yeah, he had like a torn cartilage in his ribs, which is painful. So.
And I think it was just that, you know, when the Titans were up 21 and it's the fourth quarter, you're kind of like, all right, let's take the foot off the pedal and, you know, sit the franchise quarterback and not get him hurt.
Right, exactly.
And Nico, we talked about Josh Allen a little bit. It was Stephon Diggs, 11 catches, 147 yards. I mean, big game for him. Zach Pascal today for the Colts, 79 yards on 5 receptions, 2 touchdowns. Just another. You knew that Philip Rivers was going to have a nice little day. He didn't make our our Chingones section for the quarterbacks, because so many other ones had big days, but obviously he had to be thrown to someone. Brandon Ayuk, Nico, you've been talking about him a lot. So
yeah, you know, he had a great game today, but every catch he had was like he shouldn't have caught it, but he did. And I mean, I could have seen him go for 120 today, but they were spreading the wealth, and you know, again, they weren't really, the Niners weren't really throwing that well. But you know, Bourne was out there, and he caught that one in the end zone. That was great. But Ayuk seemed like every time third and nine or whatever, they threw it to him, and it's like, you know, covered by two guys, and he still caught it. But I think he's he doesn't stay there, because it seems to be a farm league over at the Niners, where they come there and they learn and they go somewhere else. But Ayuk is going to do well, I think, in his career.
No, he's just he's once you get Debo Samuel and George Kittle healthy, that's going to be a scary lineup.
And Jimmy G.
Jimmy G. You know, there's so much talk about who should be the quarterback for them next year, and it's just kind of like,
quarterback controversy? Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, there's that. You know, it's like, yeah, do they go after Sam Darnold? Do they go get Derek Carr now that it looks like Marcus Mariota? Or do they go for Marcus Mariota because he's a free agent? Or do they trade for Carson Wentz and try and fix him? And it's just amazing.
A lot of options.
Just incredible. It's going to be it's going to give us a lot to talk about during the offseason. So another guy that's given us a lot to talk about, Corey Davis, 4 catches for 110 yards and a touchdown. I mean, his long touchdown, that 75-yard touchdown that he had, was just the way he turned the defender around was just a thing of beauty. Just a thing of beauty.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Very cool to watch.
One of my favorite highlights of the day. Kind of snaked his way in. And then how cool was it to see Antonio Brown score just all of a sudden? It's just, and then the big hug from TB12.
Today was turn back the clock day, right? You had Antonio Brown getting a touchdown. You had
Gronkowski actually jumped for a ball.
The guy from the Cowboys that went over to
Dez Bryant.
Dez Bryant had a touchdown.
First one in like 3 years.
Yeah, and then Le'Veon Bell had his touchdown. Antonio Brown had a touchdown, and Dez Bryant had a touchdown. It was like, you know, 2016 all over again.
Jerry Rice caught one. It was amazing. You know?
I know. The Jerry Rice one, he looks like he could still play, man. Rounding out the other receivers, you had DJ Moore with 131 yards and on 6 receptions. Justin Jefferson didn't get in the end zone, so we didn't get to see the gritty today, but he got 104 yards and on 8 receptions. Mike Evans, another 110 yards on 6 receptions. And then we saw the return of Jacoby and Myers. Instead of getting you $2.1 million, he got 111 yards and 7 receptions.
It's about time.
And then we had the Chingon tight ends, Logan Thomas, 13 receptions for 101 yards. I mean, Haskins was just looking for those guys. I mean, it is just, you know, him and McKissick, it was just the short balls because Terry McLaurin didn't do much. So,
right.
Incredible. I mean, on the heels of Darren Waller having that big game on Thursday Night Football, it's just like, it was nice to see him have his game. Travis Kelce. Yeah, 8 receptions, 68 yards and a touchdown. And he got that little, you were mentioning that little pitch forward with
underhand. It's weird. Yeah. They Casey's offense is just completely different from anybody's offense. I mean, Mahomes can do things and try things, and Andy Reid is just so creative and open to just trying just whatever. It's like we were talking about earlier. It's like playing football on the street with a Nerf ball. Like, and you know, oh, that'll work. Oh yeah, could we do? We could do that. You know, run over there to the back bumper, and then you know, hook and ladder, and you know, whatever. Like, they're so creative. They do things that nobody does, or you know, for the most part, and they're, you know, they want to be different. You know, you just tell that the stuff that they run is just so out there. It's just like, how the hell did they, like, how did they even try that? Like, why would they even try that? Because I think other teams would try the same plays that Mahomes does. And it's like, if it didn't work, they would just look bad. Like, oh my God, like, I can't believe they tried that. Like, what a silly play. Like, what a dumb thing to try. Yeah. But when KC does it, it's just like, wow, how clever. Like, oh man, that was that was brilliant. Even if it doesn't work, like, oh, that was so close. That would have been so awesome. You know what I mean? Like, they get credit even when it doesn't work. So it's incredible.
Well, you know what?
It's kind of funny. It's like the old days, the basketball, you know, the Harlem Globetrotters were actually a real basketball team. And when they were way ahead, they would do the tricks and do all that and kind of entertain the whole group. And it's almost as if these guys could do the same thing. So, you know, they can practice the Statue of Liberty, whoop-de-whoop, you know, back behind shuffle thing. But, you know, I see them as that way because, you know, some of the stuff, again, the hook and ladder today, I think people are kind of catching on. And the trick play, you know, I hope it comes on because I think it's fun to watch. I really think it's fun.
Definitely.
Oh, it was fun. It was fun. Well, I'll tell you one thing wasn't fun, but first we got to say, ay, Dios mío.
No.
What the hell happened with the Rams? ¿Qué pasó? Hey,
that's
baby,
your
¿qué
team
pasó?
Too, George. That one's got to hurt, right? That's your corazón roto for today. That's your team that just took the L to the Jets. What happened?
It was like I had that game on the iPad, and then I had the Chiefs and Saints on the big TV, and I'm watching it, and it was just like the Rams couldn't get any rhythm going in the front in the first half of the
ball. But the Jets defense is nothing special. Like, what the hell? What's up with Goff?
They were getting Goff. They were hitting Goff.
What?
And which to me was shocking. I mean, I know they don't have Andrew Whitworth, who was one of the top rated offensive linemen, but they just they were getting Goff got hit. Cam Akers got dinged up at one point. So, you know, I think that kind of hurt their running game a little bit. But and then the Rams, they just gave up a couple of, you know, gave up some cheap scores early, and then all of a sudden it was just like it was desperation time. And I mean, they were down 13 points late in the game, and you're sitting there, you're like, are they really going to do this? Are they really going to do this? And then they got within 3 points, and it was just like Goff was just a little bit off. And I mean, they're going to get killed on Sports Talk Radio tomorrow. It's just going to be, you could totally tell that they were overlooking the Jets. And
they just weren't prepared. They just figured it would be an easy cakewalk, and when it wasn't, they were just like in shock mode and just couldn't recover.
And it was sickening because of the fact that they had the playoff spot waiting for them. All they had to do was win that game, and they had essentially a 2-game lead on the Seahawks because they'd already beaten them earlier in the season. So now they're in second place and in the wild card, and it's just
that's just gut wrenching.
I would not want to be in their practice sessions. You know what? You know what? The other Adios Mio is that loss. Maybe more costly, that win may be more costly for the Jets because that knocked them from the first overall pick to the second now.
Yeah.
Because of the tiebreaker.
You can see them. They wanted to win and they were fired.
Of course.
And I think it was all coaching. I mean, when you get to this level, it's like there was some bad calls because the Jets seemed to be, they were the right place at the right time. Good call, you know, good formation. And the Rams were just, they didn't have the right call. I mean, they were getting blitzed at the wrong time. And, you know, it's just like, I think coaching let them down today.
I totally agree. I mean, it was just not a good one. And now the Rams got to fight for their lives, and they've got two tough games. They've got Seattle and then the Cardinals coming up. So it's there. Neither of those games is a gimme. So they got to win to get in. So, speaking of winning to get in, you had the quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers, took them to the division championship, and now they're the top seed in the NFC, but did not have a big game. He had two touchdowns, one passing, one running, but only 143 yards. I mean, he just
it was the Aaron Jones show. Aaron Jones really show. Was. That's I mean, that's all they needed to do was just game script, just run, and Aaron Jones just ripped, you know, just tore him to pieces. So.
I mean, they won by 8. Would have been nice if they won by 10, but that's okay.
Oh man! Oh, I didn't put our bets what they did, but yeah. Actually, why don't you guys talk about the rest of our quarterbacks? Jared Goff. I mean, well, we talked about Goff. I mean, he was not good. But Nick Mullins, two interceptions. Those guys just didn't do particularly well. Nico, what happened in that one? They should have won that game.
Well, I think he was pressured. I mean, he was throwing some stuff up that he usually doesn't do. He was just getting desperate because they were on a, you know, on a rhythm. But he went to the sidelines. They actually brought in the backup quarterback to him, the backup. And, you know, again, he's missing a lot of the receivers. So it's just kind of tough. And they weren't really open. He was trying to force it. So, I mean, Mullins, you know, I'd say he's a good quarterback. He could play somewhere else. But, you know, he's there. And I don't know, because I've seen him play well and I've seen him play bad, which was today. So we'll see what
happens. I'm curious about Russell Wilson, who's also made our list, you know, 121 yards, you know, one TD, 52 yards rushing. But I'm just, you know, Lockett, you know, he had a, you know, pretty, you know, definitely bad game, 34 yards. And my guy, DK Metcalf, also had just had mediocre game. It's just, you know, it used to be that, you know, during the season, you know, like we talked about, even early on, you know, between Lockett and DK Metcalf, it was just, you know, you got touchdown. And, you know, the Seahawk offense was just like buzzing along, just like on all cylinders, just firing away and just, you know, putting up, you know, points in bunches. And just now that it seems like they're just kind of limping into the end of the season here. I mean, Metcalf, he's on my squad and I can't even remember last time he had a touchdown. I think it's been at least maybe 3, maybe 4 weeks since Metcalf scored. Tyler Lockett, he's had a couple bad games in a row here. So I don't know. It just seems that the Seahawks offense is just discombobulated, just a little bit out of sorts. And I'm just kind of wondering what it's going to take to get them back on track.
The big thing with them is whenever they meet a pass rush, Russell seems to have a tough time because their offensive line is kind of leaky. So they're going to give up some passes. So, I mean, some sacks, and that seemed to be the case today. I mean, I don't think there's any more ferocious defensive front than the Washington football team. So, that was tough. Yeah. That was tough. Yeah. They're not giving them a lot of time. And, you know, the running backs, a couple of, I mean, Todd Gurley, -1 rushing yards on the day. I mean, how far they have fallen. 2 years ago, he was offensive player of the year. And now he may be on his way out of the league. I mean,
it's got to be that knee. I mean, this is the second, pretty bad game in a row. I mean, I think last week he rushed for something like 30 yards or 25 yards, something like that last week. And today, -1. So, I mean, something's definitely not right with the guy. I mean, you wish him well, but, you know, something definitely is not right with, you know, it was his knee, right? That's what the issue with the Rams. So something's not right there. And like you said, he may be, if it's worse than, you know, what they're leading on, you know, like you said, he may be on his way out, unfortunately.
And Peyton Barber had only 5 yards rushing on 4 carries. He got a touchdown. So that one's a tough one. On the wide receivers, some surprising guys. I mean, Cooper Kupp got 5 receptions for only 39 yards on a day that the Rams were really such heavy favorites, and against that secondary that's just filled with undrafted free agents. He was going to be lining up against the undrafted free agent. I mean, Adam Thielen, 11 receiving yards, 1 touchdown. I mean, that was a tough one. I put Dez Bryant in there, but still, you were right. You know, clap it up for him. First TD in 3 years.
Exactly. Yeah.
And he did it after recovery.
I was like, wow, Dez Bryant had a touchdown. Like, wait, what year is it?
And this was after he recovered. They had to talk him out of, you know, hanging it up on the season after he, you know, got COVID. So, Tyler Lockett, we talked about him. I mean, with Russell Wilson, only 34 yards receiving, but Amari Cooper, 10 yards receiving. That's just how many fantasy lineups did he hurt today?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Oh, Robbie Anderson. I had put him on the afuera section of the column because it looked like he was going to be drawing Jair Alexander, who that dude's a stud. And
DJ Moore took all the targets and got the work in. So good for him. He's on my team, so I'll take those points.
Yeah, and the last one that I put on there is just to measure his greatness on the season, and also just to keep I still love you, Devontae Adams, because I know you're going to score for me next week in the, hopefully you're taking, I'm going to the finals in spite of you, but 42 receiving yards on 7 receptions. I mean, it seemed like whenever he got a screen, somebody was hitting him. I mean, it was almost like they knew the play was coming.
Right, right. But I mean, it's Davante Adams. You know, he's defense proof. So I mean, we talked about it a little bit. You know, that yesterday's game. You know, the way the offense was flowing was completely through Aaron Jones. So if the receivers and Aaron Rodgers didn't put up big numbers, it's because Aaron Jones was just gobbling up clock and gobbling up carries and gobbling up yards. So that's not going to happen every week. And, you know, as you said, Devontae's gotten a touchdown every single week since week six was the last time he didn't have any. So, yeah, he's going to score next week. I have no doubt at all. And Aaron Rodgers will be back on track as well.
Yeah, it'll be Tennessee next week, and that Tennessee.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
They are very generous. So let's take a quick look before we close up shop. We're going to take a look at how the bets did. Nico, your Buffalo Bills came through for you, so that was a good one. Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay, they won by 4. They did not cover by 6. So that actually got me a cover. So I know
I'm 0-2, man. I'm 0-2 so far. All right, keep going.
No, you're not 0-2. You had the Jets plus 17.5.
Oh, that's right. Hey, all right, I'll take it.
Yeah. So you.
Hey, and when I made that call, George, you thought I was nuts.
I thought you were crazy. I thought we were gonna see another. I thought, well, the New England Patriots had just been here and lost 24-3. No way were the Jets gonna do anything.
Right. Right.
I thought they were gonna get shut out and the Rams were gonna win like 28-0. It was
good. Yeah, man.
So you guys both had
my logic was off. I thought they would win by. I thought they would lose by like 17.
Yeah,
right.
What a cover. But
hey, whatever, they covered.
Well, you know, Tampa Bay. I don't know what happened to them. I mean, they got way behind and they caught up. They should have never been in that position. They should have won this by double digits. I don't know what happened there. So that was
weird. They got behind on the. I think they were down 14-0 before you knew it. So. So we talked about the Miami game. Nico, you had KC. That was a push, 32-29 final.
Right.
So that, though I'm still annoyed, that should have been actually a win for the Saints with that touchdown. That wasn't. Mm-hmm. So, heck, you covered with 4.5 points on Cleveland. So I had the other side of that one. So you covered that one.
Yeah, that was 3-for-4 then, huh?
Nice. Nicely done.
Hey, nicely done. Look at me.
Nico, sorry about your 49ers. So the road favorite didn't work out.
Yeah, the Dallas has come back. I mean, if you go back to the beginning of the season with this team where they're playing, it'd be a different ball game. But you know, it's a little too late. You know, but they're doing it. You know,
too little, too late. Well, we'll see. I mean, they might actually pull off the next couple wins and win the division and end up going to the playoffs. So how crazy would that be? It's loco, loco, loco. So my last pick, so we talked about the picks. I had Denver plus 6.5, so they didn't come through. So I got only 1-for-3 so far, and with Cincinnati plus 12 tomorrow. So we'll see what happens there. So I think that does it for us, boys. Christmas week is here. So hopefully there's a lot of points scored.
For
all the fantasy players to give all our familia community.
A big question for you guys is, what's your favorite tamale for Christmas? You know,
oh man, rajas all day, jack cheese, green chile, just the right amount of spice, and just like,
is that what they call them? That's the green chile cheese. That's
right. Yeah, rajas.
Rajas. Okay.
Mine's the classic, the pork one
sauce. That's my 1B. I think 1A and 1B. I mean, because, yeah. I mean, rajas is kind of like it's kind of new to the party, right? I mean, when we were kids, I don't ever remember anyone making tamales de rajas.
No.
You know what I mean? That's kind of a more recent development. Because we were here kids, it was pork tamales all day, every day.
Well, there was green and red. Maybe that was about it, you know?
Yes, that's right. The green and the red.
No one liked it. It's like, who eats those things, man?
I never understood the dulce. Why have dulce when you got all of those desserts on the other side?
Right, so exactly.
That one just never made sense. Never made sense. You know what? Sometimes I did like when people would do the rajas. So that was good. And then
I'm a sucker for spicy food. So like the spicier the better too, man. It's like. Mm. It's the perfect food. It's just like melted cheese, and it's a tamal, so you got that, and it's spicy with the flavors. It's perfect. It is the perfect food. literally.
Oh, it's almost like a chile relleno in a
tamale. It's like a exactly. It's so good.
It's like bacon. You put it with anything. You put an egg on a tamale. Oh, that's the best, you know.
Bingo.
Let me tell you, bacon tamales would sell. So that one, I think we got to patent that.
Bacon everything, man.
I will say, you know what? As much as I like the tamales, the way we had them in the big pot, steamed in the big pot, to me, I always like them reheated on the comal.
Really?
Something about that you get a little bit of the burn,
a little bit of the crisp
from the, because you did it in the husk. So you got a little bit of the imprint of the husk. Mm. I don't know what it was. It was just,
I'm gonna have to try it. I have never done that, but I'm gonna have to try it.
That's the way my mom always heated them up. And I was just like, I gotta have them. So,
all right, let's go.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's getting me hungry, even at 10 o'clock right now. So on a Sunday night. Bueno, everybody, that's our reaction show. Gracias so much to Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets out in the Familia community. Please make sure to subscribe at Apple, Google, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcast. Please, if you could leave us a review at Apple, that'd be fantastico. We would really appreciate it. Remember, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Familia FFB. You can find me on Twitter at Jorge Martin. Hector, ¿dónde te hallamos?
What the heck? 2 T's.
Oh, please. And I'll be having a column on our FamiliaFFB.com site to get some waivers out there for some guys that you might want to be picking up if you haven't already gotten them. We'll see if we can find some. But and also, don't forget our Familia FFB Facebook page. Gracias, everybody. Hope you're having a great Christmas week. Remember, todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos.
Salud.